This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor of Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly, with us every Thursday to give his latest impressions on the major political stories making news. And John, it's always good to have you with us.
It's always good to be here. You make the summer more bearable in Washington.
Well, it's a beautiful week in the nation's capital this week. Certainly no one has much to complain about weather-wise. And John, many people are wondering what we're going to hear from the president next week. Wednesday, September the 9th, he's expected to address a joint session of Congress and basically make another major push for his brand of health reform. Some say there's going to be some new ideas there, perhaps moving more towards the center. Others say it'll just be repackaged with different rhetoric. What do you expect?
I'm hearing the same thing. He is going to move away from the public option into something that provides greater accessibility at as low as possible costs in terms of more Americans getting health care. Now, if that means getting away from public option and having the government pick up the tab for people, well, he's going to run into a brick wall. That brick wall is named Rich Trumka. I had breakfast this week with the outgoing head of the AFL-CIO, John Sweeney, and his heir apparent, Richard Trumka. He made it very clear that public option was non-negotiable and that he and his union confederation would go after Republicans and blue-collared, blue-dog Democrats who don't vote for a package with public option. If President Obama moves away from it, he's made a major enemy out of someone who is pivotal to his election. So I'll be watching with interest, as I'm sure Mr. Trumka will.
John, you've been around this town for 30 years. You know why different political entities do what they do. The AFL-CIO, obviously a major big labor organization, they negotiate health care benefits through collective bargaining. What's their dog in this fight?
Well, their dog in this fight, very simply, is that they want the accessibility for others and people stop using the emergency room as the family physician and driving up the costs and possibly being threatened because their own very lucrative health care plans that, as you say, they've negotiated are now going to be taxed. They see that as the alternative to the public option and government getting a hand in health care, or I should say a greater hand than it has now. He specifically said it was ridiculous and silly for existing health care plans to be taxed to fund greater health care for others. I have a feeling President Obama may see it a different way.
We're talking with John Gizzi of Human Events. And John, another issue that is slowly gaining more of the president's attention is the war in Afghanistan. The president, who has changed the terminology and how we refer to that, although his press secretary called it the war on terror this week, got a report from General McChrystal in the past couple of days that does not paint a flattering light of our current situation there, saying that it's serious and almost like we're the bull and the Taliban's the matador, and every time we try to do something, we get nicked a little bit, and it doesn't seem like we've accomplished a whole lot. But he says a new strategy can actually win this for us. On the other hand, you have some prominent conservatives now, including George Will, saying there's nothing much left to accomplish there, so it's time to get out. What do you make of all this?
I never liked the headline, but I think it's appropriate now, Obama's Vietnam, because, again, one has the situation where his own party is very divided on this. Barack Obama was largely nominated because of his opposition to the U.S. presence in Iraq and that he would end it in 16 months. On the other hand, he sees Afghanistan as the place to draw the line in the sand in the duel with international terror, whether they use the term or not. That said, we're finding that al-Qaeda is stronger than ever. In the last week, the deputy head of intelligence in Afghanistan was assassinated, and al-Qaeda took credit for it. It's very uncertain where the civilian government is going to be. The president of Afghanistan, President Karzai, is forced into a runoff with his leading opponent, charges of fraud, and that his lead in the race may have been manufactured by dirty means appear in the papers daily. Barack Obama has his handful in Afghanistan, and again, the term might well be accurate, Obama's Vietnam.
John, just last week, of course, we talked about the passing of longtime Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy. Now we see the first person officially throwing their hat into the ring to win that seat in a special election in a few months. That's Martha Coakley, who is the current Democratic Attorney General of Massachusetts. What do you make of her, and how crowded do you expect this field to get?
I expect that there will be three heavyweight Democrats, Attorney General Coakley, and U.S. Representatives Stephen Lynch and Mike Capuano, who will get into the race. And then there is Mr. or Mrs. X. Will a member of the Kennedy family get in? Say the senator's widow, Vicky, or his nephew, former Congressman Joe Kennedy, who is well known for his Citizens Energy Corporation and his dealings with Venezuela's Hugo Chavez. It's also interesting to watch the Republican side, because the name most talked about now is a name that you know, and certainly every Bay Stater knows, Curt Schilling of the Boston Red Sox.
Absolutely.
I listened to an interview with him this morning. He is a conservative Republican, extremely bright, and he campaigned for George W. Bush and John McCain. It would be interesting to watch him standing in front of Fenway Park talking about playing extra innings, coming in to pinch hit, but never has he been there when they've changed the rules in the middle of the game. And that's what Massachusetts Democrats want to do now, by suddenly giving the power of appointment to Democratic Governor Deval Patrick.
And, John, we're also hearing about other potential Republicans like former Lieutenant Governor Kerry Healy. But in this environment where you have a very blue state in Massachusetts, not to mention the Kennedy sympathy factor in voters, do Republicans really stand much of a chance?
Yes. Remember, Massachusetts elected a Republican governor three times in a row in the 1990s. The last Republican governor, of course, being Mitt Romney, who only stepped down in 2006. Remember, if Democrats have a jihad with themselves in the primary in December, it's a very brief time to heal wounds and kiss and make up by January. A Republican who's well-known and well-funded, say Kerry Healy or Curt Schilling, could well benefit from that fallout. I've covered a lot of races in which people do not heal from primary wounds, and the beneficiary is the other guys.
Very interesting. John, just last week we were reviewing the Afghan elections and previewing the Japanese elections, which you predicted would be a landslide for the opposition party. Right on the mark. Tell our listeners exactly what happened there, what it means for us.
Well, for only the second time in more than 50 years, the ruling Liberal Democratic Party of Japan was unseated. The first occasion was a brief period in the 90s in which there was some internecine party warfare, and then they got back together. This time the people spoke, and in elections that made headlines worldwide, the opposition Democratic Party of Japan routed the LDP. Their ranks were reduced to just a little over 100 in the 408-member diet or parliament, and the opposition Democrats won nearly two-thirds of the seats, meaning they can do what they want with help from two small coalition partners. Mr. Hatoyama, the new prime minister, is the grandson of a prime minister who was a major figure in the 1950s. He was educated at Stanford in the United States. He doesn't seem that different from other Japanese prime ministers, except in one small but significant way. He's a little wary about dependence on the United States, where he was once educated, where his grandfather went to school, and this could mean not refueling the U.S. ships on their way to Afghanistan, as the LDP faithfully did. It means a second look at the 50,000 U.S. servicemen who are stationed in Japan. And it's very unclear what he'll do in Korea. I would say this. To most Americans, Japan's politics and its prime ministers are forgettable, if not even noticeable. This changed in the election last weekend.
John, lots to talk about this week. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for your time, as always.
As I look forward to the fall and look forward to Congress coming back, I think, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.